Greetings and Merry Christmas, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to Flesh Wound Horror Live. We are joined by Christmas legend NC and producer Todd somewhere behind him.
I was going to do the voice, but it'll get me canceled, so
he'll
there. Thank you, Pugs.
Pugs Dread, who can do the voice.
Namaste.
Are you telling me I can't, motherfucker? I'll do it right now.
And Mike Kruger.
Welcome to primetime, bitch.
So, yeah, can't do Santa Dan. Can't do Santa Dan when we got NC. He's the definitive clause.
And for the people who are out there to cancel, that stands for Nathaniel Claus. That is his full name.
Nathaniel Claus.
Pierce Keith knew what's up.
So that all put back together because just the clip.
You're trying to get me. You're trying to get me to say words I shouldn't in the first 3 minutes.
He lives. Let's so, take the win, gentlemen.
NC is an XPW legend, first ballot Hall of Fame.
Original.
Original. And somebody, another member of the extended Flesh Wound family, made the mistake of handing him to Mickey Knuckles
to use as a weapon. The BBWs and NC came
BBWs do love NC, but NC came apart when he connected with Terex's head. And
that's actually incorrect.
Terex stole it.
He took it from Mickey and then cracked it.
Oh, there. Okay. Got that.
So if NC lost his head, I'm sure that's the way he'd like it.
It's unfortunate he didn't shove it up her ass, and that's how he lost it.
She got a barbed wire Christmas tree up
there. Yeah, that is true. And shout out to Pitt in the chat. Todd, if you could pull up his comment.
What up, Pitt?
Bugs.
Pitt. Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope you're all having a wonderful holiday, regardless of how you choose to spend it, whether it's with family or victims riding the fire truck.
Love you, Pitt.
Merry Christmas to you.
You don't have
Merry, Merry Christmas, Pitt. Merry Christmas, Brian. Trash in the chat.
There we go.
I should say it's not for a little bit yet, but I think like tonight after midnight or 1 a.m. or something, Pitt has an interview. He's going to be on with Goraphobe, so check that out as well later tonight.
Definitely will.
So we're joined by a legend already tonight. That's awesome. I'm feeling the Christmas spirit.
We have two legends here, fucking NC and fucking Pitt. We're about to add a third one because I received a package here from Germany from our buddies over at Weirdo Animation.
Love those motherfuckers.
Fucking awesome.
Jesus, that's a big knife, Pugs.
Thank you, Evil Ed. He got it for me like a while ago.
A straight up stream knife. What the fuck are you doing with that thing?
This is what I used to open shit. Overkill is how I
roll. I feel like I would carve into some slip covers if I tried to use that on my Amazon packages.
You're a fucking Neanderthal. So I haven't opened it, obviously. I've been waiting for the show to do it.
And for the viewers that don't know, Weirdo Animation made Crappy Christmas, which was a short in the December anthology film that was actually cut from the final cut of the movie, but the uncut version has the Crappy Christmas segment in it, and it is probably one of the most fucked up stop motion claymation things you'll ever see in your life. But it is fucking hilarious. And it is fucking awesome, and it is definitely Flesh Wound approved by all four of us.
I remember watching that at first and thinking, oh, fuck, they're going there.
Yeah.
They're really going there.
And it was discovered the same year we discovered Christmas Cruelty, so like it all goes hand in hand.
Yes.
All right, so first step. Opens with the postcard, which is awesome.
Oh, wait, you know what? Hold on.
Yeah, well, it's made Pug, okay. So
let's get you.
Give me some, like a lap dance from Taylor Nicole.
Yeah, give me some girth. Wow. You took his girth away. Oh, there we go.
All right, so stop motion, Ostalung.
I'm assuming that's possibly the school that he runs.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. Is that Nosferatu? That's badass. Get that. Oh, a certificate of authenticity.
Uh-oh. Screen no dude. Way.
Greasy dildo.
Fuck yeah. Signed.
No way. So is that the rules? Greasy dildo in the box?
That's.
Oh.
I don't.
So they held an auction or not an auction, that's but funny. A sale to fund. Thank you. Yuletide Suicide or the new name, which escapes me, and they succeeded. So I helped contribute to that. All right, we got some postcard nice. Stickers.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There we nice. Go. Some crappy
yeah. cool. More stickers.
Ooh, that's great, dude.
Oh, shit, yeah.
With the oh, X. Yes.
I got a couple of sauce. Give you guys some.
Gumby gets his revenge.
Oh, this is the sticker that won the vote.
Oh, that's oh, awesome, cool. man.
On Instagram.
Oh, that is cool.
Fuck yeah. All right.
All right. Let's see. Let's
oh,
see
hold
the.
On. Four. Oh. The guy. Oh, these are big. Oh, how cool.
Same oh, here. Some big ones. Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You can make
this track. I didn't know that.
You can make some kind of cool tree topper with those.
Fucking A. All right. Came in safely. I appreciate that. That's always good.
All right. Here we go.
Screen used, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this was the
this is a random keychain. That's not in the thing, but that's pretty fucking rad.
Yeah, dude, that's rad as fuck.
Yeah. There it is.
All right, let's see it.
How big is it?
Holy shit, it's way bigger than I thought.
And it's in a nice vial. That looks like shit. Hold on. Fuck
dude,
yes.
Can you see that kind of looks like the shitty finger I have up here.
There's too many fucking glare.
Close enough.
You have to get take some pictures and we can post on Instagram.
Is it? Hold on. Okay.
Just don't touch it.
Uh oh.
It's like Operation.
Uh oh. Yeah. Be it's careful.
Dude. This is cinematic history. This fucking yeah, rules.
Dan has a full size one, not related to the movie, but
the greasy dildo that was inside Gumby and killed the Pope. Let's
dude,
go.
I'm gonna go get some blue mints and put it right next to it because you know how he had the pills. That's fucking rad.
You're gonna need to lube it to get it back in.
Put
there,
it back in. Yeah. Get it yeah,
be careful, sir. Be careful.
It is greasy.
Sit on it. Them. Oh, there you go.
It is greasy.
Thrown in dry.
Dude, that is so fucking cool. I'm glad that you got that, man.
Dude, I almost also bought the bloody one. But I'm like, fuck, I can't really do that. Like, but come on. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, dude, cinematic history in your house.
Fuck yeah. So thank you, weirdo. Thank you for being cool to me and all of us at Flesh Wound.
Yeah,
and, we are so excited for the next project, dude. We'll always have your back. We'll do whatever we can. Please come
yeah.
on.
Yeah, I can't wait for Crappy Christmas Part 2.
No. You're going to be the next Disney. Disney is dying, and this is going to be the next big thing.
I need you guys and Pitt to collab on an animated Christmas Cruelty. Like, it's got to happen.
Santa meets Gumby.
I don't
know. I'll add an addition to that. So throw Joe Castro in there. Take it into like a Terror Toons universe sort of thing.
I'm in.
Speaking of Joe Castro, we see him in one of our movies later tonight.
We do.
Friend of the show. We'll be talking about that. So yeah. Have you guys done anything Christmassy? We're down to the wire now. So it's
well, yes, we went to a Christmas themed wrestling event this past Sunday, which you could hear all about. If you go there listen you go. To Squared Circle Society, you can hear
go check that out.
A dear friend, which I might have already done today.
I was going to say, behind the scenes, there was a lot of bad language and, questionable things. Todd's a very angry man tonight. But
I was very upset for a few hours, and then I found that I was worked, so that's fun.
I was going to tell you that night.
No, it's,
then I got distracted, and then I saw someone...
It's funnier this way, so it's okay. But Taylor
Todd's
Nicole,
never going to believe anything I tell him now when he leaves.
Right, sure, dickhead.
The first story is 100% shoot, though.
Yeah.
So if that makes you feel better.
I threw it out on the show. Like, if one of us can be a part of that, throw me off a fucking building, roll over me with your car, I don't care.
I will do it. I will run naked in the fucking ring and do cartwheels on glass.
But you won't take a punch to the asshole or the dick. Or is it a
cat? I would. I'm not walking up to somebody, and it may not even know what the hell I'm talking
we
about.
We already said we do. Hey, you know what?
Punch me in the dick.
We'll see if we can get one. If we can get that offer still to stand, you know, I might.
That is not.
I'll just punch. I'll just punch him in the dick for free.
Damn. Well, anyways, dick punching talk out of the way. Let's get right into our first movie of the evening, which is A Creature Was Stirring from director Damien Leveque. And in this film, a nurse taking care of her daughter's mysterious affliction struggles to hide her secrets when uninvited strangers take shelter in her house during a lethal blizzard. Kruger, hot tag. This one's different. It's a little bit more than just a creature feature.
Yeah, man. Well, first thing I'll say is going into this, Damien Leveque, he made that movie, The Cleansing Hour, that we reviewed a few years back that I actually really enjoyed a lot. It was about like a social media exorcist that was a fake exorcist, but then he finally had to deal with a real demon while he was like on live stream. That was a really cool movie. Loved that concept. So I was excited to see what he was going to do with the creature feature. And I mean, holy fucking shit, man. Just this movie from start to finish really like took me into its world. I just got to put over the acting throughout this. First off, for horror alumni, we have Scout Taylor Compton in this movie, who I thought played a amazing little side character role.
Aging like wine, by the way.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Still able to play like a college kid, which is kind of funny because I think she's getting up there now. But yeah, she was great. And our lead, Chrissy Metz, I have never seen her before. I heard that she's been in some TV stuff.
Yeah, she was on that one show that everyone was all about.
But This Is Us. Yeah,
yeah, it was like the white people know.
Yeah. But man, I thought she just did a killer job throughout this movie of just playing this character and really just all the depths within the character itself. Hard role to get across, I think. And I thought she did a great job. The story of this, like, so one thing I'll say about this movie is there's parts of it that can be very confusing why it's happening, but once you get to the end, everything kind of ties together and makes more sense. But I can't see how that can be off-putting for some people, but I think if you just strap yourself in and take the ride, that's really the way to watch this thing. And that's what I did, man. Just fuck, the creature effects alone were something that, you know, are just right up my alley. This movie to me really reminded me a lot of something that we would have got like in a creep show segment in the show, especially with the way the practical effects were, and the practical effects were plenty. I'm pretty sure that's what they spent the most of their budget on. And I mean, rightfully so. They brought to life this amazing, the best way to describe it is like a xenomorph and a fucking, porcupine had a baby, and it was really, really fucking cool looking. Thought that creature, those creature effects were awesome. We got some good gore, amazing transformation scene. And just as a whole, I really, really loved this movie. But then the ending hits. And I felt like I got hit across the fucking face with a metal baseball bat because it just was such a fucking gut punch. I can see how the ending may not work for some people, but just for me, the way they tied everything together, it just was so dark, so disturbing, and really, really fucked me up, to be honest, and sat with me for a while. And then, like, after I watched the movie, I was like, I don't know if I liked it as much as I think I like it. I need to go in for a second time and see how it is, you know, and how it's going to affect me for a second viewing. And I had the same reaction. I think this is a fucking great film. It's one of my favorite films of the year. As of right now, it's sitting in my top fucking five, and I had a great time. I'm going to rewatch this every year. It's right up my alley with the creature effects, but it's so much more than just a creature feature. And for the budget alone, they really, really fucking are ambitious with what they went for, and I think they succeeded.
right the fuck
awesome, on. Awesome. Pugs.
Cool. I agree with you on the creature creep show vibe, except I actually like this because I don't you know how I feel about the show. I don't like the show, dude. But I if this would have been a segment in that, I'm like, oh yeah, this is pretty cool because like the coloring, the lighting, the way it's shot, fucking that has creep show written all over it. I really dug that part. The monster is cool as fuck. That the way it moves too and got around, kind of like a, I don't know, it felt like a video game, like
demonic Sonic the Hedgehog, dude.
Yeah, Knuckles, or who's the black one?
Yeah, Shadow.
Shadow. There you go. So that was pretty cool. Scout Taylor Compton was awesome. The dude was cool. The chick who played the daughter was great. But yeah, the chunky chick, the lead. She needs to be in more horror movies, and I need to see her more in general. She's fucking rad, dude.
She did a spot in American Horror Story, and I can't remember.
It was about a decade ago. She was she looked a little different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Matt, there's a lot of talent in that lady. So yeah, more from her, please.
Sorry.
That kind of came out wrong. I can
laugh at that motherfucker.
BBW, and on like, where the story ends. I was very, very interested in that. I would like to see a version of that played out straight. Because I don't think on your first, I don't think it'll hit what a lot of people as strongly as it should. Because I'm with you, Kruger. Except, instead of watching it again, I just kept thinking about it. I'm like, that's pretty cool. We don't get that often. We get that story type of telling often, but like what the character did, we don't get that version that often. So I thought that was fucking cool. I guess story-wise, it could have been a little stronger, but this worked for me. I was very entertained. I liked it.
Awesome, awesome. So going into this one, I didn't really know anything about it going in, so I was kind of thinking more cheesy Christmas horror, which is the bulk of what we're getting. So I was pleasantly surprised that this is more scary Christmas horror, which is you can do. Like, it's a shame more don't try and do something a little more serious. So this is much more than just a creature feature. Those elements are great. In fact, it almost at times reminded me of Splinter, which I think is a masterpiece. Some of the best effects we've seen in a creature feature in the last 20 years on Splinter. That movie's
getting old now. Fuck.
It's probably coming up on 15. Yeah, something like that.
I'm pretty sure it is like 15 years old. It's like 2008.
Yeah, and so it gave me those vibes when it comes to the creature side of things. Early on, there's a very surreal, bizarre vibe. So you get a feeling that there's more than meets the eye, and there definitely is. You know, again, I'm not going to give any of that away because I do think this is a more complex storyline. But I was just wondering, I was like, really? Two people break into your home with ski masks and you're going to let them stay?
Like, it's fucking
frozen. I understand, but I would have killed them both.
I agree.
Like, I would have pulled that bat out of the one and I would have just, doesn't matter. So there were a few things where I was
Might have got a little worse. Just saying,
there's more than meets the eye. The brother, Scout's brother, actually is the young man. I guess at that point in Stakeland, that's what I recognized him from. A great vampire movie. I love the way it kind of comes full circle. There might be similar endings, I suppose, but the way that they went about it, I thought was fresh and worked for me. It made sense. There's a lot of little things. I do think this warrants a rewatch because there's some subtle stuff in here that when it all comes full circle, like I said, it all works. I have a couple minor gripes. So Scout Taylor Compton actually doesn't always work for me. I think sometimes her performances aren't great. And I'm not a Rob Zombie's Halloween hater like a lot of people are. So there's no baggage there. She just doesn't normally hit a home run for me. I can't say she's a great actress. And I don't know if I see her a certain way that I couldn't buy her as a Jesus sort of freak. You know, like you kind of
I can't think of one impressive Scout Taylor Compton performance. Like one that's like blew me away.
A creature of stirring.
but even she doesn't.
She doesn't have that May. She's not an Angela Bettis. I'll put it that way. Like I know she's popular in the community, but I don't think she's a great actress. But I mean, she's okay. She doesn't do anything too distracting. It's just
she's pretty. Sometimes that's you don't have to do much. If
you're that. I didn't even recognize that it was her until like.
Yeah, she looks better now than she did back then.
You want me to be controversial?
Go for it.
I don't see the big deal on that front either.
I see it here. I didn't see it in Halloween.
Yeah.
Dude, Halloween 2? Come on now. Mm.
You do understand she's like supposed to just kind of be like like Laurie Strode, not like the beauty queen though. I mean, that's kind of like the point of her being in Halloween.
I get it. And maybe like particularly by the point you get to Halloween 2, I don't know. Maybe
I take it back. I think Halloween 2 is her best acting work. Never mind. That one actually.
Yeah. I mean, she's not the star of this movie or anything. And again, she's fine. It's just, I'm not as sold on her. But
Dan just had to go and dig on her real quick.
Well, yeah, the incel in him could not be.
Everybody like worships her as like this great actress. Now, Danielle
Harris. I don't worship her as a great actress, but she's in some shit I like.
I think people are just happy to see her, Dan. That's all. Yeah.
I don't know anyone's like, God damn, that Scout Taylor Compton killed it in that fucking movie.
I never heard that either.
I don't even think her mom said that shit.
I like her. I like the way she's held up over the years.
You're a solid hand, sweetheart.
And now we're never getting her.
Yeah, we're going to get buried on her podcast with fucking Daniel Harris now.
So these fucking pieces of shit.
Get some Rogaine.
The piece of shit over there, Scott Taylor Compton. Do not fucking lump me in with him.
They rated me a 5.
Just put her over for Halloween 2, even though I don't like the movie.
There you go.
Like half.
No, I'll put her over in that too. I hate that fucking movie, but she's great in it.
She's like the only part of that movie I'm really interested in, that whole dealing with that shit, but whatever.
But you know who is great in this is Chrissy Metz. I'm trying to think, other than American Horror Story, what I've actually watched her in. I know that This Is Us show was a big deal for a minute, but
Got tricked into it, but I saw that one movie she did, Breakthrough. It was all religious-y. Goddamn sons of bitches.
Oh, is that the one where through the ice?
And yeah, the boy breaks through the ice. And
why did you go and see that? Because that seemed
I used all three of my movies every goddamn week, and that's all there was.
Because that looked like
I watched. What?
That was like obviously propaganda from the trailer, so I was like,
it timed out. It was what it was. I will go see dumb movies and find something that's good, like Eileen or whatever. I fucking love
Eileen. Yeah, sometimes you do get surprised. That's the best thing. I feel like Todd's just like, I don't care if it's gay porn. If it's 90 minutes and that gets me to the next showing, I will fucking watch it.
The only way I allow that, I guess it has to be 3D for me to like over.
Yeah, shoot it over here. Let's use that 3D. The 3D on the cum shots was just anyways, Todd, you started that. A Creature Was Stirring. I really thought this was great. On a second watch, I could even go higher, but I really like this a lot. Effects work top notch. Great lead performance, very haunting, I think, ending.
Yeah,
and I can see in the chat something different.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can see different opinions on it, but we've watched a lot of cheesy Christmas horror in recent years. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good. I like that this one went more serious, and I loved it. I thought it was damn near a home run for me.
It's funny when you were like, you had made a comment like, stop what you're doing and watch this. I was expecting a totally different kind of picture when you did that, so I was like, all right. So and I was watching so I watched it right after, I remember that, but yeah, not what I expected. Totally loved it. It wasn't at all. I get why you said it now, but it wasn't what I was expecting. I think that going in with a different set of expectations and coming out with this, which, like Dan said, there is a lot of just like, you know, light Christmas horror, Mm-hmm. Or there's stuff that tries to be serious that just totally misses the mark or just comes off boring. This is none of those things. This thing's awesome. Yeah, this is definitely one to add to the yearly rotation.
All right. Well, let's rate this bitch then.
Let's go. What do you got, Kruger?
I'm a 4.5 out of 5. And I wasn't sure it was going to stay a 4.5 after my first viewing, but after watching it the second time, deserves that rating. And definitely one of my favorites of the year. Good way to close the year off because we're almost completely done, so we're going to have to start those top tens pretty soon. So this one snuck in there for me.
Right on. I am a 4 out of 5. It's really good.
Dan?
I am a 4.5 out of 5. That could even grow.
I'm with Pugs. I'm 4 out of 5 with room to grow.
Sweet. All right, guys. So moving on. And as always, drop your thoughts on these films in the chat. We love hearing from you. And the comments, that's important as well. Helps the channel grow. All right. Our next film from director Melissa Vitello is Abigail. And in this film, in 1976, troubled teen Abigail and her mother moved to a small Alabama town in hopes of escaping the girl's violent past. She befriends the boy next door, Lucas, who is mercilessly bullied by a group of kids at school. Determined to help him seek revenge, Abigail takes matters into her own hands, but quickly spirals out of control. As Lucas begins to uncover the dark and twisted nature of his new friend, things take a deadly turn. Now he must choose between standing by her side or stopping her before it's too late. All right. So, Abigail. This one, I got to put over Ava Cantrell, who plays Abigail Cole, and Tren Reed Brown, am I back?
You stopped at Brown. I think you said something inappropriate after that.
Tren Reed Brown is Lucas Wright. The two actors have a lot of chemistry. And I thought their acting was great. Now, having said that, this movie kind of opens giving you the vibe that this is going to be a slasher film. The opening scene anyways. But then as we get into it, this is really a teenage love story that just happens to be about a psychopath. For the most part, for most of that running time, it's a teenage love story. And you know what? It's not a bad one, in my opinion. I was into the two actors. I felt really bad for Lucas, who's, being really mercilessly bullied.
Old school, too. He's the hard F.
1976. Yeah, they don't. And they, you know what? They do a good job rather than.
Yeah, because he felt bad for him. How people were bullied.
They don't lighten that up. I mean, this is 1976 and they treat it as such. And I'm into it for what it is. I do feel like after that opening, there's going to be some specific horror fans that are going to be checking their watches a little bit. Like, okay, when are we getting to the horror? And I think. Thank God it does have the chemistry, because if these two leads weren't on point, you'd have nothing here. This movie would be a slog. I think I would have liked certain aspects of this more if maybe Abigail's mom was incorporated into the story a little bit more. There's some stuff that's introduced and it never really goes anywhere. The necklace that she gives him.
That goes somewhere.
What do you mean?
It kind of does.
No, it's 100%.
That is integral, dude.
Yeah, I know.
There's more, though, that you could do. And I would have specifically liked to have incorporated the mom more into where things go. They do an okay job of establishing Lucas is, he can't catch a break. He's miserable at school. His mom
back in 1976. Yeah, he's not going to catch it.
He's tortured. But I still feel like, I don't know.
Actually, when they said the word bunny, I thought they were talking about the girl. And then I felt like a moron. I'm like, oh, you're... I was like, oh, yeah, Snow Bunny. Good job. Oh, wait. No, that's the other one.
Yeah, yeah. The way he was being bullied, I actually thought, like, okay, is the character... Are they going to go that route with him? Is this going to turn into something like that? I don't know. It's an okay teen romance with some horror elements is how I would pitch it. There probably needed to be a little bit more horror to satisfy.
Yeah. I mean, it is a suspense picture, so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's introduced as a slasher, though. I don't know. What did you guys think?
Kicked off. Oh, I'll go. I fucking love this one. And I totally related to Lucas, not about being bullied, because whatever.
But you, like, just wanted the white bitch, we know.
Yeah. That I would.
I knew Pugs was falling in love watching this movie.
Fuck yeah, this little girl showed up dressed as sexy Chucky. I had to Google her age. I'm like, I can't be doing this. I'm like, oh, thank God. just got in there. But yeah, I totally would have been like, I wouldn't have been that rude to begin with. Like, yes, ma'am, sure. I would go hang out with your daughter. No problem. And then she's cool as fuck standing up for him. I'm like, yeah, this is a damn bitch. Is she trouble? Yes, I would have gotten a lot of trouble with this dumb with her ass. But I thought the chemistry is there. The situations were fucked up. The opening set me up in a good mood, and it just drew me right in. I was invested. And I was wondering where the necklace was going to go, and it does happen to play a big part, which I don't know how you connected that, but that whatever. I like
dancing around.
I like the journey, and I like where it ends. I think it stuck the landing. If we have more in the future from these characters, I am in all the fucking way. I absolutely love this movie, but I like teeny shit too. So, yeah, this was for me. I enjoyed the fuck out of this. Abigail, all the fucking way.
I am 150% with you, Pugs. I didn't touch my phone once, yeah. Beginning to end. I was engaged. Like the situation, it was just like, you know, getting more fucked up and progressing more. And they swerved you like quite a few times. Like even from the beginning where you expect you're getting one thing, then they switch it up. Then you expect you're getting another thing. And even with, you know, one of the kills, you're like, okay... You expect you're getting one thing. There was a lot of that, and that's what I liked. It kept me like, okay, what is she really going to do? Like, how, you know, and it kept me engaged through the whole running time. I'm surprised this one didn't hit you, although I knew.
I'm surprised it hit you as hard. I'm surprised.
Because I like movies about people. This is more real.
Well, I didn't than 90% of the stuff you watch.
This is exactly like when I say I like the other A24 movies, because they're not there, they live in a different world, and that's how I feel.
The
like
this still films, you mean?
Didn't I say non-horror A24?
You said other.
No, I didn't hear you. You said other.
Okay. Sorry, yes, sorry. but not that I'm saying this is that, but I'm saying it's just a story about people and fucked up people in this case. But yeah, I loved it. Absolutely.
Same.
I think the story didn't quite match the performances for
I just think Dan's just never ran around with a crazy girl like I get it.
Unfortunately, I have. So maybe that's the problem.
Unfortunately, you seem like you might have ratted her out, Dan.
You like the crazy girls. That's what's wrong with you. No. You need a little crazy. Otherwise, what's the
point? But I, you know, again, I don't want to give the impression that this is a bad movie. It's not. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it didn't hit me at the moment. That's possible. But
it's funny because I kept putting this one off for last because I wasn't sure. I had read the synopsis and the synopsis that I read was like totally like not what I got, which I loved. But and I watched it last and I was like, holy shit. I don't know what I was waiting for. I love this movie. I already feel like watching it again.
I want to see it again.
Yeah.
Dan, this feels like it's a rub for you this year, the movie Rub.
Rub was really good.
Yeah. Rub was a shock. That was probably the most surprising movie of the
year. Wasn't that this year?
Yeah, that was this year. I don't know.
Yeah, this year. What the fuck are you talking about?
You said it feels like another Rub this year.
Yeah.
Like it, but it's not like
Rub. Your problem, Dan, was adding the words this year. You should have just said this feels like another Rub. Adding this year made us feel like it was last year. I think
Rub, which we watched together. That movie was awesome. So
we never said we watched Rub together, Dan. I don't care if it's true. Just don't say it.
All right. So Abigail. Well, I'll be lower, obviously.
So go for it.
I am a 2.5.
Pugs.
But the performances were a 5.
So then average out to like a 3 or some shit? Anyway, no, your math sucks.
I just wasn't into this.
Yeah,
the numbers don't add up, right, denier? Abigail, for me, is a 5 out of 5. I fucking love this movie.
Wow.
Holy shit. Also a 5 out of 5 for me, so.
Nice.
Damn, this might be the furthest apart we've been. I would say Kruger would be closer to me, but I
don't. You know what? He's like, well, if that little kid would have been a different. Never mind.
It was.
He would have been like,
I wanted Chucky for me.
Girl too. Yeah.
I don't see anything you like the story I've seen before too. So I don't know.
If I've seen something before, like I know where it's going, it's not always going to turn me away. Like Titanic. I know the ship fucking sinks, but let's see what they do before that happens. That works for me. As long as I'm entertained. And this, I was very entertained and visually pleased.
We need a Tarantino, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood Titanic ending where you just totally put that.
Make it the fucking Godzilla.
Godzilla fucking pops out and fucking throws the Titanic fucking across the Antarctic.
See, I was gonna say you throw in a CG John McClane and just have him smoke a
Die Hard. Fuck yeah.
It is. It's like old school, like terrorists on a boat, and he just stops.
Well, I mean, I've always liked movies that you get your switch on, like something just like swerves you. I mean, obviously the ultimate one's From Dusk Till Dawn, but
you have me wanting to watch this again. I don't know. Maybe I'm being harsh. I didn't think it came together as good as it did for you guys. But
I fucking loved it, man.
There you go. Yeah. That's awesome. All right, so Abigail. Check that out. It's on VOD now, correct?
Correct. Yes. Right. And two of us gave it a 5 out of 5. So
there you go.
And Kruger. Kruger's like, I don't, yeah.
I am watching the show.
Teen Love.
I was worried about you, Kruger. I'll be honest. I was like,
You think I want this? I killed Pikachu, goddammit.
Yeah. Stay tuned for Patreon to watch me kill Pikachu, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, fucking. I watched the trailer and I was like, I think I'm good on this one.
Okay, all right. Moving on to our next film, which comes from Wild Eye Releasing, and that is Nightmare on 34th Street from writer director James Crow. And in this film, one cold Christmas, a strange, sinister Santa arrives to visit Peter and tell him 4 Christmas horror stories. So, as the synopsis suggests, this is a Christmas-themed horror anthology. And coming from the UK, Bugs, that's just his review. So
over anthologies, people. Like, fucking tell one story at a time, please.
I like anthologies. I know, not all.
But do you like 2-hour, 10-minute anthologies?
I do not like 2-hour and 11-minute anthologies. 10 minutes, I might have been okay. So all of these kind of, it's 4 stories. It all kind of comes around and connects. One issue I have with these is, well, number one, the runtime, and it's just too deja vu because they're all similar. They're all kind of like a home invasion type angle.
They're all fairly good. Which is also frustrating.
They are. So it does a few things right. And we've talked a lot about this. It doesn't go the CG blood route. Having said that, there's a lot of cutaways and aftermath stuff with the kills. And I will say that's the better way to do it. That's much better than just having the computer blood spray at the camera, which I really thought we were going to get in this. I like that. As you said, I think most of the acting is pretty solid for an indie horror movie. There's some familiar faces. If you're UK based, you might recognize Lucy Pinder, who I believe was like a supermodel.
Yeah, I
at one point.
Yeah, what was she? I'm trying to remember.
She was in Strippers versus Werewolves as well years ago, but she was quite famous. We also get indie UK Scream Queen Dani Thompson, who, again, one of those names you may not know, but she's kind of a veteran at this point. She was in Christmas Slay, which we reviewed on Slashmas years ago. Female Zombie Riot, Pumpkins, Pandemonium, Convention of the Dead. She's just popped up in a lot of low-budget UK stuff. I think sometimes this plays it serious for the most part. There's a little bit of comedy, but I think this works best when they are playing it a little bit more serious. I thought the story that they did with the ventriloquist was a little bit too familiar. Like, it was fine, but it's like, okay, I've seen this before.
The fact that it was a snowman is what made it charming.
Yeah, it's a snowman. I get it. But I think a couple of the stories would have been fine as just shorter movies. And that's the problem. Like, okay, you could have given me a good 60, 70 minute movie from this story rather than trying to stretch this out and make me watch 2 hours and 11 minutes where a lot of this just feels a little too close to for me to sit and watch this in one sitting, which it's a movie. So I got to judge you a little bit on that. I should be able to sit through it without watching it in chunks. And this is one that made me feel like I needed to just split it up a little bit to enjoy it more. But there are some, the story with the priest, like that, which had a lot of twists and turns. I'm like, that is a 60, 70 minute movie. And it would have functioned great on its own. And I thought that was quite good. So it's not all bad here. I don't think anything falls flat on its face by any means.
It just wears out its welcome. That's all.
It's the way. Yeah. It's the structure of it that doesn't, that ultimately fails it for me.
Yes. I agree. But it's well made, mostly well acted. There is some makeup. There's a Krampus story where the makeup's like, you really, the budget shows.
They should have just brought out the Krampus from The Reckoning and I would have been happy.
That is, you know what? That is a very special effect. Very special.
That's
the
PS1 shit.
Didn't we do one Krampus movie with you, Kruger? And this might have been towards the beginning of your run on the show, but I just remember, like, what's this fucking bullshit? Like, it was like awful. So I don't know. They go practical, but practical's not always good either. So.
Now I want Krampus the Reckoning versus the Christmas Tree.
Oh no, the Killing Tree. No, yeah,
the Killing Tree.
Killing Tree is a more than a notch above those Krampus knockoffs. I am sorry.
That Krampus one I refer to, you have to watch in the right mind frame. It's pretty shitty.
Reckoning's the one with, like, they all
PlayStation 1 graphics.
Okay. I thought that was... Christmas Devil's a rough one, too. Krampus the Christmas Devil. That's another rough one. They're all fun.
Yeah.
Good Krampus movie or thing that has Krampus in it that isn't Krampus itself is A Christmas Horror Story.
Yeah.
I like that one.
So
a good anthology.
Where do you guys stand on this? It's middle of the road.
I should like it more because the quality for the most part is pretty high. But it overstayed its welcome. And I will fully admit I was invested in the first two stories or so. And by the time I got to the priest one, which is towards the end, at least where it comes around, I was kind of like, it's about fucking time. I want to check out. Please make this stop. So that's going to hurt it. But yeah, I can't not recommend checking it out other than it's a long fucking movie. I just wish they trimmed the fat down and I would have liked it more. There's something here that I like, but yeah. Because like even like the angel David Bowie looking kids, they were cool. There's a bunch of shit to like in here. It's too fucking long. So that's
it needed an edit job. And like that the puppet story it's weird because, again, I didn't even hate that, but I feel like you could have almost removed it to make this flow a little bit better.
I hear a lot of people saying that the ventriloquist, this is a Batman thing, like would not be able to be a villain in the movie. I think the snowman proves them wrong, because you can make that, if he's like scary and like just like it looks like a creepy serial killer at times, yeah. I think it could work. So I think that part is successful. It's just too long. Too fucking long.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I hate to be like, yeah, I mean, if you watch it in pieces, but I mean, that's not the point of a film. That's a collection of shorts. Yeah. And this one doesn't even feel like that's what it was. It felt like they were going for a theme, but it's weird because like I don't think any of the acting or the stories were particularly bad. It just didn't work together as a whole for me.
Yeah,
I agree. I think we're actually in agreement on this one. I can only give this 2.5 stars, and it's too bad because there are certain points where it rises above average, but 2.5 again.
Yeah, I was going to give it a 3, but I can't. It's 2.5. It's just fucking, we're out of welcome.
All right, we got one big taint. I'm a 2.5 also.
And with A Nightmare on 34th Street, like that title's cool, but whatever.
Dan will get this one. It was like some of those 2000 porn parodies that just use the name, goddammit. Give me something to do with what you're parodying. I want Freddy killing little kids on Christmas. Something.
There's a Freddy one whose name I cannot say, but the whole gimmick is you get like this kind of Freddy guy, and they just have tinsel everywhere. So he's like banging this girl, and there's like tinsel like on his Johnson for some reason.
I can't see the name.
It's a slur, but it was so. Like, really? Like, you're not even trying. You get into the 2000s, Axel Braun territory, and it's like they try and actually make good.
It was my fault. I'm sorry, guys. I said the P word. Now he's off on a tangent.
Axel Braun is god, though. Okay.
He is. I never talked to him, but I think I might have, like, seen him at the AVNs. And I regret not actually I got to hang out with James Dean briefly, which was really cool, but never Braun, unfortunately. All right. So moving on.
With the greatest porn director of all time.
Well, that is Slava, sir.
Two of the greatest of all time.
All right.
I'm gonna tell Rob you said that too now.
Oh, well, yeah, but he's kind of like obvious. So it's like, yeah. He's also not just a director. He's like a mogul. You know what I mean? Like he's kind
of the greatest porn directors of all time.
There you go. And you know what? You forgot another one. We know a lot of directors because you've also got Tom Byron who directs.
Well, he wasn't there, so I don't. Yes.
And also, okay. that's an editing adversary.
Not an adversary. We're all the same team.
Yet. Okay. Fine.
There you go. Todd versus Tom Byron at Merry Christmas 3.
I know the soft spot.
I call him out vertically.
NC on a pole match to determine.
NC will not enter the ring anymore.
Not of this earth. We'll just leave it there.
He's retired.
Back to this movie. Are we in between? I don't even know now.
We're going to the next movie.
All right, so make this one good, Dan.
Which is A Night Caller from director.
Give me a better intro, Dan. Remember, I'm going to clip this out. Give me a poppy intro, something that welcomes us.
All right, guys, next up, we have a review of director Chad Farron's new slasher film, Night Caller. And so Nightcaller features television psychic Clementine Carter is pulled into a complex web of mystery when she receives a call from a serial killer.
Predicting his murders before he commits them puts her into a terrifying game of cat and mouse. Enlisting the aid of her invalid father and clairvoyant co-worker, they must use their unique abilities to stay one step ahead of the maniac whose unspeakable acts in the present are nothing compared to his past and future. All right, so Chad Farron tends to be a favorite of the show, and my dog. He has been on our radar, I guess, since like Unspeakable, right, Todd? Which is weird to think that that's like 20 plus years ago now, like yeah. 22 years ago.
Once those immortal words have turned that frown upside down, I was sold.
There you go. And lately, I think Chad's been on a roll, a very different kind of film, but Exorcism at 60,000 Feet, I thought was a blast. Oh, I thought that was really good. A lot of fun. Been using a lot of the same cast. Bai Ling has been popping up in a lot.
Muse.
Robert Miano. One thing I got to say about Bai Ling before I get into the movie, she is awesome. It's like she, I swear she just chugs like 50 Red Bull before he yells. And she's like so like, yeah. I talked to another director who I'm sorry his name's escaping me at the moment that worked with her on The Gene Generation, which is actually really good and worth watching with her for a starring role. And he said the same thing. She was just so fucking like dedicated and in it that yeah, he said she was really cool. He passed away too, so rest in peace. So Nightcaller. This has a lot of good things going for it. It's like When a Stranger Calls, kind of, with the medium thrown in the mix. I thought that was a really unique take on it, with the creepy calls coming in and the visions of the murders. Also, cast-wise, not in everything that Chad does, but Steve Railsback.
Fuck yeah.
Always good to see Steve Railsback playing a psychopath. He does so much, even when he only has like a small role. That guy is terrifying, and he always knocks it out of the park. And this is
he's my Ed Gein.
Yeah, I know you're. We keep saying we're going to review that. We got to review
and my Charlie Manson.
Yep. So the Richard Band music as well. This has it really elevates this because it is a lower budget movie, but everything feels bigger when you have like that kind of a score, which I thought really added to the film. And this movie is a love letter to everything that we enjoy. I mean, the Patrick gag, because Robert Miano plays the dad of Susan Priver's character, Clementine. He's just a movie fanatic. He used to go to the drive-in. So there's a lot of callbacks to not just the big stuff, like, you know, Patrick, and there's a lot of love for like New York Ripper and different things in this movie that I really enjoyed seeing. A lot of, yeah, particularly, we'll get into it later. So nasty, gory, some really good practical effects, and I really had a blast, and just a good cast. Susan Priver, who plays Clementine, I thought she felt really authentic and real.
She reminds me of Lynn Shay a lot, and in a very good way. Specifically, Lynn Shay's character in the Insidious movies. I think that's kind of what they were trying to channel, and I thought she hit a home run with that shit.
Yeah, she was very good. Great character actors in this. Lou Temple, who plays the killer's dad in flashbacks, also a great character actor. He really pads this out. There's a lot of humor too, and it's balanced well because it's kind of hard to have that gritty 70s grindhouse feel and still get away with some of the gags they have in here. And I think it all comes together quite well. I want to throw out Steve Railsback. I don't know if he always looked like him, but he definitely looks like him now. Lloyd Kaufman. Have you looked at them recently? They have aged into the same human being.
They have like the same cheek and chin structure. Yeah.
And
Something about that. I don't know. I mean, Steve Railsback's the better actor. I'm sorry.
R.I.P.
What?
Huh? Yeah, didn't he die?
No.
What the fuck are we talking about, Todd?
Steve Railsback didn't die?
No.
No, he's alive and well, Todd.
I would be devastated.
Okay, who am I thinking of?
Oh, I don't know. He's fucked now.
Did I just kill him?
Angel of Death. Damn, Todd.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I hope he comments on this video. Just like,
I'm sorry, I can't think of who I'm thinking of too.
What's wrong with you today? I'm still alive, you son of a bitch. I just want that comment.
I'll figure out who I was thinking of.
I really enjoyed this, and it's strange because I don't know if maybe the distribution hasn't been great because of this. It deserves a little bit more attention than I think it's getting. I had a lot of fun with it. Again, kind of a theme from earlier. It doesn't make the mistakes that a lot of movies like this make. It, you know, keeps it practical. And even the actors that don't have as much screen time, they make good with it. Kelly Maroney's also in this. I had a blast. What did you guys think?
Overcure.
Yeah, this was a really fucking good time. It definitely has a almost giallo, like supernatural giallo feel to it, which I really liked. Practical gore galore. I loved the killer and his backstory. I thought was really, really cool, especially in those flashback sequences with Lou Temple.
Fucked up too.
Yeah, really fucked up. Also, the look of the killer with the, you know, the blacked out face with the wig or scalped head. Really, really cool looking shit. And I loved Susan Pryor's character Clementine and her dynamic with her dad, and just her dad's character I thought was so fucking cool. And I was just really, really, I loved all the characters. And I just in general from watching like the last couple of Chad Farron movies that I've seen, you talked about Unspeakable, and then we just recently reviewed Pig Killer too, and I just love the tone of his slasher movie.
You
can
see it. You could feel that it's a Chad Farron movie.
Yeah. They feel like they belong in the same universe. And yeah, overall, this was great and a nice little treat. I really wasn't expecting like a ton from this movie. But I do remember watching the trailer a while back and thinking it looked pretty cool. But man, it definitely exceeded my expectations. And I was pleasantly surprised to know that we were getting a sequel that we're going to review after this. So I had a great time, and I definitely recommend it. If you're a gore hound, fan of like cheesy giallo movies, and just a fan of other Chad Farron slasher movies.
I agree. This movie over-delivered for me. I actually watched these out of order, so this was like a prequel for me. Okay. and it works just like that too, but if you can watch it in order. Steve Railsback and Lou Temple, they kicked ass. Clementine was awesome. That ball of energy is infectious.
Biling.
Yes. So like, she's a lot to deal with, but she's fun, and I highly recommend it. Yeah, I had a fucking blast, and again, knife sex. This is Cannibal Corpse approved. So I dug this.
Yeah, I know we were supposed to cover this one a couple years ago, and it just fell in between the cracks. I'm glad that the sequel like really got us to do it, because I feel like we should have been able to be talking about this the last couple of years, because I loved it. I mean, I since Unspeakable that day, I've become a Chad Farron fan.
Right. And Unspeakable was great. If anybody is a fan of like just extreme horror in general, go watch that shit. It's really one of the more fucked up movies I've seen over the last few years.
Yeah. We need that. Come on, whatever Vinegar Syndrome's new line is. I want that one on Blu-ray.
Like Trauma meets just like very well Combat Shock, also Trauma, but yeah, it's like that. Like, man, I feel dirty watching this, even though I'm laughing at some of it.
Subjective Perspective Collective, who released it or where can you see it?
Well, right now it is currently streaming on Vudu, Tubi, and Freevee, or Amazon streaming, all with ads. So
yeah, check it out for sure. For fucking free, man, that's definitely worth it.
And I and out of those, I'd go with Freebie because it's got way less ads than Voodoo does. Jeez.
Dude, Voodoo's the worst. Voodoo. Well, we were what were we watching?
It was one you couldn't wait on. I can't remember
which it's on. Voodoo is unwatchable because it does
no, but we had to watch a show on there. Was it the fucking
It was Master of Horror or Fear Itself?
The Fear Itself, yeah. And it was like a fucking do ad every time. Don't you fucking dare. Don't you dare.
Glad I had the DVDs for that one.
Well,
but all right, yeah.
All right, let's rate this bitch and get on the scalper.
Absolutely.
For me, I'm a 3.5 out of 5, but that's not to say there's some there couldn't be some room to grow, and I definitely want to watch this one again.
Yeah, I am a 4 out of 5. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I'm a 4 out of 5 as well. It really had a lot more. I think great director. The Joe Castro effects work was great. And just that Richard Band score. It had a lot going that elevated it. It might still be a B movie in a lot of people's eyes, but I think it really gets elevated for me. And Steve Railsback, one of the more underrated character actors of all time. That dude is awesome. And Todd...
All right. I've already expressed my love for the director, so shocker, mine will be a little higher. I'm a 4.5 on this one. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. So we're going
to
go...
Oh, wait, you know what? I do want to throw out one little trivia bit. The 1957 Ford LAPD police car used in Nightcrawler is the same exact 1957 Ford Custom that Janet Leigh buys with the stolen money in Psycho.
That's cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very
cute. Cool. Little...
That's interesting. I wonder how he got a hold of that one. That's kind of cool.
Hollywood.
Yeah. It's the same one used in H2O and even Leave It to Beaver. It's a Hollywood. I mean, Hollywood cars, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that is cool. All right. Moving right into the sequel, and then we'll main event with Santa Stein. But before we get into that, the sequel from, once again, writer-director Chad Farron, Scalper, picks up shortly after the events of the first film, and Clementine is now a celebrity. She's doing the TMZ talk show circuit, talking about her experiences. She and Bai Ling, who's now bawling and living in like a Hollywood mansion, are all... enjoying their newfound fame before a new series of killings start happening in the area. Has the killer returned? Is it a copycat? We do not know. So, Scalper, what did you guys think?
I had a lot of fun with this one as well. I like the returning faces from Nightcrawler with Clementine and especially her father. We got a little Jake Busey in here, which was pretty rad. And I loved his character playing that cop.
He's part of the acting troupe now.
Yeah. Right. All the characters were great. Yeah. And I really liked the story. I mean, it opens up with one of the most fucked up things I think I've seen all year. Certain fucked with a knife scene involved with some human excrement on it. Yeah, that was fucking disgusting and really fucked up. But
very bad fair too. I was like so happy.
Yeah, dude, the wipe was everything.
Yes. Just that it was on the knife. I was like, yes.
Yeah, man, this movie's really fucked up. Really, really fucking good. They deliver, I think, even more so with the gore in this one and just the fucked upness of some of the scenes that we do get. Also, just some of the, like, dude, the guy who he did that to, when you find out what that motherfucker did when they're in that autopsy room, I was like, oh, man, this movie's getting really, really fucking dark now, ain't it? So this pulls no punches, and... I thought it was a great follow-up to Nightcrawler. I could definitely use a third. And, yeah, let's keep this thing going. Fucked up slashers with good gore and just, like, the right amount of humor. I'm all in for all of these. And again, it, like Scalper, Nightcaller, Unspeakable, and the fucking Pig Killer, they Pig all killer. Just they all feel like they belong in the same universe, which is cool. So I'm all for Chad Farron adding more into this world of fucked upness.
Fuck yeah. Count me in with Kruger here. I want a third one. The story, it continues, which is awesome, because sometimes sequels kind of, you know, they tend to go off and do their own thing. This one explains more. It's not a, like a, it doesn't degrade itself. It's just a sidestep. This is just as good as the first one, in my opinion, which is kind of showing my hand. But yeah, I'm glad I watched these two so close together. I wish I watched them in order, but yeah, it still works as a prequel thing. But yeah, the knife in the opening scene, like, damn, you're setting me up for something big here, and it delivers the rest, because it's fucking gory as shit. And then, you know, you have a movie fan in there, and you fucking love his room and what he his version of an afterlife thing. But yeah, that's fucking wonderful. That's what I hope happens.
And it didn't feel like a lot of times, no offense, Dan, that it was just shot in someone's room to be shot in someone's room. Uh-huh. Like it felt natural. It didn't
feel.
I know you guys shot in your house, and that's what I mean.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you could tell there's a difference. It felt which is funny because Dan's is real, but it didn't feel real. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I believed him as a movie fan. And
yeah,
set up. I did think one thing was funny when I won't say the movie, but he was going to watch one movie. I was like, how are we going to pull this off? And he's like, oh, wait. Because I was like, yeah, that movie's not public domain. You're not watching that. shit. And then the movie pick was public domain. I was like, okay. how are we going to work around this one?
Yeah, and the humor, I mean, it's not like some of it's like really simple. Like when she like just bear maces that reporter.
Yeah.
Like that FBI guy that was watching her and like, you may want to call an ambulance. Like he was snotting out of his eyes. But she just like, oh, well, my bad.
And then drove off. She was like, fuck you.
As you mentioned, this does up the gore. There's some nasty skinnings, some stabbings. True. The
Joe Spinell approved.
I'm not giving anything away, but there's like a skin mask that's kind of a recurring thing in this that really looked great. Again, yeah. Joe Castro even appears in this one in a small role. He really did top-notch work and I really like the way they kind of incorporated the spirits and tied in everything. It's good to watch these back to back because, again, it picks right up. It's not one of those movies. There's a lot of indies where sometimes they'll kind of like just more or less ignore the first movie, and it's understandable. It's hard to do a sequel nowadays for a lower budget movie because it's like, well, people are going to feel like they have to see the other one, so we're just going to go a totally new direction. They connect really well. And but I hope also maybe
work separately though, too.
Yeah. Well, and the thing with this one too, it definitely delves more into the supernatural element of the story.
Yeah.
And, usually I hate that and I think it's like super hokey, but for whatever reason it just fucking worked in this, and I thought that was impressive because usually on the lower budget level it's really really hard to do some of that supernatural afterlife going into the, you know, other realm stuff, and I think they did really great for what the budget was.
No, they did an amazing job. And I hope maybe some Vinegar Syndrome sub-labels will take a look at these two, especially with Pig Killer, which I think seems to be selling pretty well.
I think it is the same studio, so I wouldn't be shocked to see that. If my memory serves, Scalper and Pig Killer, same studio.
Yeah, that would be great. Also, I should say another film of Chad's, Parasites, from I think like 2016. Terrorvision Films just put that on Blu-ray. it's kind of an assault on Precinct 13 type thing with homeless people. It's
that sounds cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always worth watching. Like I said,
we got to make a point this year to do Easter Bunny Kill Kill. Maybe we'll do a double of that, and somebody's knocking at the door.
Yeah, Ghouls is another early one.
Yeah. I got that from Blockbuster because I couldn't buy it anywhere. That was when they were like, "Oh yeah, you can rent it, and if you don't want to bring it back, you just pay the rest." So I'm like, "All right, I just pay it now. I'm just taking it home."
the dying days of Blockbuster.
No, that wasn't even the dying days. Remember when they eliminated rental late fees?
Yep.
And you just bought it after X amount of days. I'm sure. Were you working there during that?
I was there when that transition.
Oh, happened. I'm sorry. That must have been a nightmare.
Yeah, people are dumb.
So yeah. So there you go.
If you did bring it back, though, we would refund you.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Okay.
A lot of people are lazy, though. Yeah, well, yeah, I'll just pay it. Okay, cool.
All right. So let's go ahead and rate this one, and then we'll get into our main event of the evening. So this one, I'm 4 stars again. I was really impressed with this, and I like Chad Farron's vibe.
I am a 3.5 out of 5.
I am a 4 out of 5.
Once again, I am a 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, this was just a sidestep for me. It was good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't. It's on par with the first one. So yeah, I'm 4.5 on both. So
maybe when he wiped the knife on the back, it just got a little too gross even for me. He'll get that extra half star in the third film. So moving on.
Yeah, where do we go from there?
you wipe it on their tongue.
No, now we just need a Kevin Gage run in. I just want to see my big hole. Needs all a partner right. For the next one.
Before we ruin my late night snack, our main event movie of the evening is from Screambox, and it is Santa Stein from co-directors Manuel Chamillion and Benjamin Edelman. And this follows: when Max Causey was 6, he accidentally killed Santa Claus trying to prove his existence. 12 years later, Max rectifies his mistake by resurrecting him, but soon realizes the creature he created is a bloodthirsty killer, and it's headed straight to his friend's Christmas party. So Santa Stein, once again, this is kind of a late addition for us, and we heard the name and figured, like, oh, okay, we got to get Santa Stein in before Christmas. And I'm going to say this before I get into it. A lot of indie horror films try and clone that mid to late 90s B movie feel. And this is surprisingly authentic. It really does feel like a proper 90s throwback film that at times feels like it could have been made then. And not a lot nail that. There's a ton of films that try. This one, I think, is more successful doing it than a lot of other indie films, and I gotta say I'm impressed with that. The story is pretty cool. Obviously, spoiler alert, Santa as we know him dies, and we're living in this world where kind of Christmas died with him, because we pick up years later.
A wonderful world.
The way, I won't spoil how Santa goes out, but it's pretty hilarious.
Ben Grimm says this movie was too dark. Couldn't see what was going on in some scenes.
A little darker.
Didn't have that issue, and normally I'm the first one to call it out.
Well, it's a little less bright because, again, we're kind of establishing that the spirit of Christmas died with him. One of the girls' like parents, you could tell they just had no passion anymore. There's some specific shots, like we're looking at like autumn leaves and shit that
those are like just fucking orange.
Yeah. that might have been just a last minute call, like I think we need to film this early, so let's just, there we go, we got some nice autumn leaves. I like that. I think the world building was pretty cool with this, and yeah, man, I had a lot of fun with this one. From the opening, the fact that this really did feel like kind of in the vein of like a Bolt Neck,
which
exactly
is
exactly the one I was going to throw out there too.
Yeah, exactly. Bolt Neck with Ryan Reynolds, Shelley Duvall, that Judge Reinhold. That's a great cast. This is a good double feature with Bolt Neck. It really is. And I, again, I'm not saying this is a masterpiece, but I think they did a great job of capturing that tone, which is tough. And also very ambitious. There's a lot of action set pieces in this one. It gets pretty wild at the end. Maybe could have been a little more gory in portions of the film, but I really had a lot of fun. This one made me feel like something I would have rented when I was, you know, a teenager in the 90s. I will say one of my favorite kills, which is an homage to A Christmas Story. I thought that was actually really fucking cool and made me pop. I'm impressed with this one. As a guy who watches a lot of movies where they just don't quite get it right, this really perfectly connected with that, you know, late 80s, 90s feel quite well. And as far as Santa goes, I thought the actor that played him did a good job. Under the circumstances, we kind of slowly see him turn kind of greenish and give that classic Frankenstein's monster vibe. But the look is not perfect. I might have tweaked that a little bit, but it was, you know, still cool. So I got to ask, what did you guys think? Because I was surprised. I did like this a lot.
The one thing I was going to say with the death of Santa, I think once all the Karens find out, if this would be theatrical, all the white women would be pissed. I think that's kind of what they expected with Silent Night, Deadly Night, because they offed them. I mean, obviously, it's not a spoiler. It's the name of the fucking movie, so they had to off them in this. But I just thought that. I was like, okay, we're going there. That's pretty awesome. But yeah, I'm with Dan. 90s feel, beginning, end. I thought it was fun. It was great. And just the story progressing. I mean, it wasn't new. I mean, you kind of know, you know, but it was completely fun beginning to end. As soon as I finished it, I was like, well, I know Dan's going to love this. I'm definitely going to be putting this one in my annual list. I'm curious the most about Krueger. Where did you land on this, Krueger?
I feel like we watched a different fucking movie.
That's
I hate this fucking piece of shit.
Holy crap, Krueger.
That doesn't shock me.
That doesn't shock me either. Movie, bro.
You're younger, though, so I think it might make sense. Like, you didn't.
Dude, the tone of this fucking movie and the characters and everything felt like something out of a fucking goddamn, like, Disney movie. Like, that shit really, like, just was off putting to me. I didn't like any of the fucking characters, the stupid high school drama bullshit with the fucking kid wanting to throw the party. All of that shit was just fucking. I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? Some teeny
the bop retro movie. Christmas some teen- party.
No, dude, it was like I'm watching some teeny bopper horror bullshit. I didn't like this movie at all. I thought the characters sucked. The effects, for the most part, sucked. I the only reason this movie's not a zero is for the fucking Christmas Story kill. But outside of that, like, this is honestly one of the fucking hardest watches for me all fucking year. I could not stand this fucking movie. It just was not made for me. Maybe a fucking, you know, some 10-year-old out there could enjoy something like this. But
I'm a lot older than 10.
Yeah, but you have the memories too.
Yeah, but dude, that's your demographic, so.
I'm surprised. I thought some there was.
I'm not the, surprised.
The decap.
I knew you were gonna like it. Lights. I didn't think you were gonna hate it.
I fucking dude. The hate was strong.
You know what? You didn't have to watch some of the other. You didn't have to watch
as well. As much as I laughed during the movie at the stupid shit that was going on, that's when I'm like, yeah, I don't think Kruger's gonna like this. I didn't think you're gonna hate it. I was just like, I thought you'd be like a little more in the middle.
You're not entirely wrong about one thing you said, though. Like, you, well,
Disney, oh, he's entirely wrong about the other.
There's films like Bolt Neck that it feels like if you take some of the R-rated elements out, it does have that Scooby-Doo kind of feel to it. It does. Even something like Idle Hands,
Like, I'm not even saying Scooby-Doo, though. Like, the whole high school portion of this movie is something that would be like on the Disney Channel in like a fucking show or a movie. It would be some stupid high school drama about like a fucking kid that's throwing a party, and you know, she's a nerdy kid, but she's trying to be with Poppy or kid. Like, it's all that fucking bullshit. I just like, I've never liked that. I didn't even like it when I was a kid. And like that was just very off-putting to me. And then, you know, you had the Frankenstein character, and maybe if he would have looked fucking a little bit cooler, I would have been more into it, but it just looked like fucking cheap effects. And I mean,
it's tough with the beard because you don't see a lot, but I mean, yeah, more fats and don't take our roles. Yeah, I don't know. This for me was just an absolute blast. There were several points where I was just jumping up in my seat.
I'm just gonna say this now: when we do the bolt neck watch along, I think Kruger can miss that
one. Bolt neck would be a pass for Kruger at this point.
I wasn't jumping up in my seat like Dan, but I did have a lot of fun with this. I did like all the characters, and I didn't mind chunky Santa. I do like a fat Santa, but again, one of my favorite Santas ever is fucking Billy Bob Thornton, and that guy's super skinny. So,
popcorn night. Idle hands, bolt neck, that sort of stuff. Just sit down, add this in the mix, and you'll have a good time. You really will.
Kruger, have you seen Very Bad Things?
What the
Shut
fuck
up, dude.
What's it about?
It's not a horror movie. It's a comedy with Christian comedy. Slater and John Favreau, Jeremy Piven.
I'm looking.
Cameron Diaz.
Because if there's any comedy out there,
no.
No? Okay. If there's any comedy out there that you would like, I think it's that one. So add that to your list, dude.
And if you want the non-comedy version, I recommend Stag.
Kill Very Bad Things, Kruger.
Stag, dare you disrespect Stag.
No, I'm not disrespecting Stag. Stag is awesome. But
The Norwegian comedies.
Ben Grimm, Kobe Ty. Shaggy G, Kobe Ty.
You know, I have Rope in 4K and I have not watched it yet.
Oh, goddamn.
What?
Isn't that your favorite?
Yeah, I know. I just, because talking about that made me think of RSVP, and RSVP is like the Rope remake, so, kind of.
I think we're going to be very, very far apart on this one, which ended up being a theme tonight. Abigail didn't hit for me. It did for you guys. And this, obviously. Yeah, so Santa Stein. Kruger, you're going to be the lowest, so let's get the negativity out
half
first.
Star out of five. There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
I give this one 4.5 fucking stars out of 5. We're far apart. I had a lot of fun with this. I get not everybody's gonna like this tone, so I get
I am a 3.5 out of 5. I did like it.
Todd.
I'm not far off. I'm a 4 out of 5. I really like this one. And we have a question from Daily Ghost.
Yo, Kruger, do you have any relatives in Massachusetts by any chance?
Maybe. But I did respond in the chat. Kruger's not my shoot name. So.
There you go. Interesting reviews tonight. But as always, please weigh in if you think we went too high, too low. Give us your thoughts on these movies as you see them in the comments. That always helps out the show a lot when you leave a
watch
comment.
Watch Abigail. Ben Grimm, Def, the highest scored show you all had.
I know for me, it's the highest I've probably, like, for one show the whole year.
Well, I don't keep track.
I don't
either. Yeah.
I mean, I should start.
Yeah, we had some average in here, though, too. So, yeah.
It seems like on this one, the ones who liked them really liked them.
Yeah.
Creature is Stirring, dude, really fucking blew my mind. I was like, wow, I'm fucking putting another goddamn movie on my top 10 at the end, this like late in the year.
I know. I think that was the only one we were all pretty much on par with.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see our top 10s this year because I feel like we're going to have a lot of crossover.
I think so. Yeah, I feel like we normally have a good seg. We normally about half of our lists have the same thing, but we'll see this year.
We're closing too, though. There's some promising stuff that we'll have a couple cram shows as always. And I think there could be some late minute stuff that's going to pop up on our
hard. It always happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There's usually always at least one or two, maybe, depending on the list. So, guys, after this show, we are going to watch Kruger commit a crime against the great nation of Japan on Patreon.
Jesus.
He's hoping for another Godzilla. That's why.
Yeah, whoa. Calm down.
Kruger is going to trigger another war. We've got enough wars going on.
Calm down, SS Dan, all right?
I didn't kill an anime icon, Kruger. I'm sorry.
Dan's upset about Colorado.
After the show, go on Patreon, and we will be showing two of my matches that I had this past weekend. As Christmas Kruger, who is returned for the first time in about 6 years. So
Ben Grimm says Krugzilla trampled Japan. New shirt coming soon.
Yeah.
We all do New Year's.
Yeah, Zombie asked, well, you took it away, Todd. you do a New Year's Eve show. I cannot do a New Year's Eve show. I don't know about you guys.
I can't either.
Maybe not on Eve, but
On New Year's Day, you can watch the debut of Flesh Wound Fist with Die Hard, which you can also see early access right now on Patreon. We also have another new Patreon I put up today. Oh, wait, no, that one's coming up tomorrow. We have another new Patreon right now. We're going to be live. So there we go. Two Patreons today.
I guess it's Zombie's birthday that day. Oh, so happy early birthday, buddy.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Zombie. And what's up, Rusty? If anybody I missed in the chat, we got good chat tonight.
Don't forget to subscribe to Flesh Wound Gaming. I've been streaming a shit ton on there recently, trying to make my way through Aliens Dark Descent on PS5, which has been a very big pain. Yes.
I heard Mortal Kombat 1 got added to the PlayStation Store today, so that's something I should go jump on.
What do you mean?
To the subscription gimmick.
There's no way, dude. That game just
changed. I got the announcement today that it was added.
Get out.
Well, while we figure that out, we can wrap and head over to the
Ben Grimm. End of Days is a New Year's action movie. He is right.
Yes. And patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. It all starts at just a dollar. And even if you're not a wrestling fan, you might want to see Kruger murder an icon.
Yeah,
and
just beat the shit out of somebody in a Pikachu mask.
Hey, kayfabe, come on.
And I was saying Pikachu. Pitt wishes everyone a Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Pitt.
And Rusty's kicking it.
Yeah.
Gay he for fay he shirts. See, they're demanded.
Well, as soon as Dan buys one of our shirts, I will have those in the
store. Todd, I'm going to PayPal you it. Do it for me. Ship it out to me. I don't know what's wrong with
that. Do it right now.
With him. Do it right now.
I don't know what's wrong. I can't order right now.
PayPal him right now. That's what I'm saying. If that's how you want to roll.
Also threw it a UEW shirt if anyone wants the retro shirt. And a UEW beanie, so that's a first. I got to get me one of them.
Ooh. Nice.
You gotta get fucking Kruger shirts on that bitch too.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And Dan can't buy them.
He's like, yeah, right.
Gahee for fahee.
All right.
Let's go.
All right, guys. We'll see you over on Patreon. Thanks. And have a Merry Christmas and keep your eye on the channel. More content coming.
Good evening.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
Pikachu.
Merry Christmas, Bah Humbug, and I'll see you in Disneyland. Bye.